And good afternoon, Tucson, Arizona. This is your boy Sam Singh here in the Camp Student Radio booth. And it's been a while. It's been a couple weeks. We were out on out on spring break, and it's been about a week now since everyone's been back. And I hope everybody had a good break. If you are at U of A, ASU, NAU, or any other school that was on spring break. We had it pretty early, to be honest. What's going on, Patrick? How we doing? Glad to have you on. And, yeah, good spring break. I was up in Eugene, and was definitely sending it up there. And that was a good time. And I saw my boy Nate, and I bet he'll hop on the live here at the end. And yeah, great time up in Eugene. Great school, actually. UO is awesome. Shout out to anyone who goes to that school because they picked a great one. I've always given that school a lot of crap just because of certain reasons, but definitely unjustified. I mean, that school's really cool. That city's awesome as well, Eugene. And Portland, you know, it's the big city right there. It's only a couple hours away. It's not too bad. And, yeah. Very cool. Pacific Northwest, definitely killing it. Then I went to Albuquerque, which was in the complete opposite direction, kind of closer to here in the Southwest. And that was good. That was fun. Did a little Breaking Bad tour and saw a good amount of the spots that were used in the show. And also from Better Call Saul, if any of you guys have seen that. Great show. Fantastic show. But now we're back. I think it's been about 2 weeks, week and a half, 2 weeks since I've done, a podcast or a radio show. So it's definitely been a minute. So I'm definitely working to get back on there. I am looking to pick up, I believe I'm picking up some more hours at work. So I will hopefully be working a little bit more. So I might be a little bit more busy, but definitely still will have some time for, some good podcasting. But in the meantime, this has been some week in the NFL. Seems like an NBA type of free agency almost. I mean, these teams, these 32 teams, I believe there are in the NFL. These 32 teams are going to look immensely different. Immensely. And I say that, and, you know, we haven't even hit the halfway mark. I mean, we're not even at the draft yet. And, you know, these teams have a completely different look. I mean, it's just, it's weird. I mean, I never would have thought that the Niners would be looking like this right now before we went into the draft with the number two pick. I mean, I know Cardinals fans are definitely happy with the way the last few days have been. And the Browns, my goodness. I mean, we'll be getting into, we'll be getting into the majority of the signings today. Because there have been so many. But, yeah. I mean, the draft's in late April, I believe. And you can look at least half these teams, and these teams are making moves. You know, this talent got dispersed for the first time in a long time. I mean, this is a good thing for the NFL going into 2020. I mean, this is the last year of this decade. And this is the last year that's kind of gonna mark. Oh, what up, Nate? How we doing? Knew you'd hop on. But this is kind of the last year of the way that the NFL is gonna look. I mean, the 2010s has looked different than the 2000s, and that looked different from the 90s. Every 10 years, you know, sports kind of develop and they change, and you know, I'm ready. I'm ready for it to look a little different. Teams are not going to be playing traditionally anymore. I think that you gotta find certain ways that, teams or just the sport in general hasn't really seen. I mean, I think it's gonna start with the quarterback. I don't think that the quarterback has to be, drafted to be Peyton Manning anymore. Or even to be Tom Brady. I think that there's going to be different types of quarterbacks that start coming out that are extremely effective. And teams are actually going to start building around that, hopefully early on. But free agency is a great, great opportunity to build your team if you got some dough. And a lot of these teams have got some good dough. They got some really good dough. The Niners are just whopping out right now. I mean, literally, Tevin Coleman, Jason Verrett, D. Ford, Quan Alexander, Jordan Matthews. Those are good signings. I haven't seen an offseason like this ever. Ever. I mean, this is crazy. What's going on? OBJ is on the Browns. AB is on the Raiders. Landon Collins to rival Washington Redskins. There's a lot of movement. Patriots lost a lot of talent. After the Super Bowl, they lost a lot of talent. And that's just not good. You definitely get broken up. And sometimes you just gotta know that, sometimes it'll come around. And look at this free agency right here. It's coming back. I mean, these teams are reshifting like crazy. And I think it's really good for this league right now. I think it's really good. So we could do this really a number of ways of how we're going to, break this down. Obviously, everybody knows AB got traded to the Raiders for, not that much, really. Third and a fifth. It's not too much on the spectrum of what AB has done over his career. But, he is getting older. He is. He's going to be 31 in August, so I don't know. I think the Raiders definitely made the right move in that regard. I think they needed a playmaker. Obviously, Amari Cooper just blossomed after he got to Dallas. But, sometimes that happens. Sometimes a player just needs new scenery. And once he gets to a certain place, they just go off. Even more than the place where they got drafted. Happens. OBJ got traded to the Browns, which is pretty nuts. That shook a lot of people. Shook the league, shook a lot of people. Fans didn't really know what to do. I couldn't even imagine how Cleveland was on that day. I heard the police got called like multiple times throughout the night just because people were running and screaming up the streets. So that doesn't tell you like what they think of that trade. I mean, a lot of people kind of forget about this, but Jarvis and OBJ played at LSU together, and they have always wanted to reunite. They've always wanted to in the NFL. Now, man, that's a good team. That's a good team to try to do that, to try to win a Super Bowl with. I mean, why not? I mean, Kareem Hunt got it announced today, 8 games. I don't know how I feel about that. But, he'll get half his season. He'll get half his season to perform on that Cleveland offense, which is going to be lethal. I mean, they already have Nick Chubb, who's just a baller. Jarvis, OBJ, David Njoku, Baker. I mean, my goodness. They just got Sheldon Richardson. They got Myles Garrett. I mean, man, that's going to be a scary team. It's going to be a really scary team. Obviously, that trade went down. Another trade that I'm very, very excited with was D Ford. D Ford, 2020, second round pick. That's it. You kidding me? I can't even tell you how awesome that is. I mean, Niners fans have got to be ecstatic about this one. We have not had a thrilling guy, I guess, or just like the Patrick Willis type of energy that we used to have on that defense. We've not seen it in so long. So long. And this is the time John Lynch is really trying to do something. He's really trying to do something, I think, with this team for this year. I think the Niners are gunning for it, too. I mean, you can't not gun for the Super Bowl. You just can't not. But I like what he's doing. You know, we got Tevin Coleman, too. We'll talk about that later. But, you know, it's very interesting with these trades. There were definitely some that went down. There's just another one that just got announced. Ryan Tannehill going to the Titans. So, looks like Miami is done with him. They've shipped him out. And he gone. Sorry. Let's see what they had to give up for that. That's very interesting because they got Marcus Mariota on that team. So I don't know if he'll be gunning for the job or if he'll just try to go for the backup. Probably just try to be the backup. But I don't know it. They just gave up. It doesn't really say. Signed a 1 year, $7 million. So they, receiving a 7th round draft pick and a 2024th round. Okay. It's okay. You know, it's nothing crazy, but I mean, they're giving up on him. That's right there. But now we're going to get into these acquisitions that have gone down in the past 4 days. Okay. Because been a lot of movement, like I said before. And we're going to start from the top. So, first one is Le'Veon. Le'Veon Bell is no longer a Pittsburgh Steeler. He is a New York Jet. How weird is that? Very, very weird. But you know, Le'Veon was holding out for money this whole time. Signed a deal, 4 years, $52.5 million. $25 million for fully guaranteed. So, and if he goes to training camp in 2021 and 2022, he gets an extra $3 million. So that's that incentive to keep him there, keep him around. That's a good signing. You know, they just released the Crow, Isaiah Crowell. He was okay there. You know, he had some good games, but nothing substantial. But now they're going with Le'Veon. And the Jets were also pretty active in the market that we'll be discussing later. Next up, Earl Thomas, going to Baltimore. About to be 30 years old, signs a 4-year, $55 million contract. $32 million guaranteed. Highest paid safety. It's what he wanted too. And, you know, I like this. You know, this is a great destination for Earl because it's a very defensive minded team. They've always been defensive minded and still young. They got rid of a lot of guys, but he can definitely make his Hall of Fame, his second part to his Hall of Fame career right there. That's a great place, great destination. Third is Trey Flowers, heading to Detroit. And that was a big, big one. 5-year, $90 million contract, $40 million guaranteed. So that's a big contract for Trey Flowers. Big interior presence. And definitely big on that Super Bowl team, on those Super Bowl teams for that Patriots The Patriots winning squad that just always finds the way. Great signing. Lions are going to love him going into the 2020s. Next up, we got Nick Foles. Signed a huge four-year, $88 million contract. Could go to 102. So Nick Foles gets out of Philly, out of the backup role. And the Jaguars actually did release Bortles. So giving up on him as well. So that'll be interesting to see how they utilize Foles into that offense. And, you know, they still got good potential. I like it. Leonard Fournette's still really good. Gets injured, but, you know, when he's healthy, he goes. So, we'll see. Landon Collins, heading to Washington. Big signing for them. Six-year, $84 million contract, 45 guaranteed. You know, I think that people are forgetting that Josh Norman's also on this team. Landon Collins and Josh Norman is going to be very scary. So, you know, Collins is still young. He's 25 years old, in his prime. One of the best safeties in the league. I like it. I definitely like it. Next up, Anthony Barr, who was going to sign with the Jets and backed out. He's a four-time Pro Bowler. And, you know, I don't know. His heart was telling him to go back to Minnesota. So he signed a five-year, $67.5 million contract. And, you know, his buddy C.J. Mosley right there next to him signed with the Jets, too. They were going to be right then and there. But after Barr backed out, they had the money to pretty much send it on Le'Veon. And that's what they did. They put all the money there for him. So gave him a little bit less than they would have with Barr, so they saved about 12 mil. But, yeah. Pretty nuts. Pretty crazy scenario. But yeah, CJ signed a five-year, $85 million to leave Baltimore. And, you know, he's in his prime. He's going to have a good career still. But that Jets D is going to be pretty good pretty soon. So watch out for them. Justin Houston's still unsigned. I want the Niners to go for him. It'd be a nice little sixth addition to this offseason. KJ Wright going back to Seattle. He signed a two-year deal, $15.5 million. Not too bad. Sheldon Richardson going to Cleveland. Like I said before, 3 years, $36 million. And that's going to be a pretty scary defensive front. Let me tell you. Him and Myles Garrett are going to cause some havoc. That's a good deal. Good deal for both. Next up, Tyrann Mathieu. And he left that one-year deal with Houston. And now he's on Kansas City, who kind of got depleted this offseason with their defense. But, you know, they're going to start to build around Tyrann. I think this draft they'll probably get some good defensive picks. So, we'll see. He's only 26 still. So, still young. And then Ndamukong Suh is, you know, getting a little old, but he's still unsigned. Could still make some good impact for some team. But, yeah, next up, Preston Smith, four-year, $52 million contract, signed out of Washington. Great addition, I think, for the Packers. They also got Za'Darius Smith and Adrian Amos, who will come up a little bit later in the list. But, yeah, Packers have been really aggressive this offseason as well, so good signing. LaMarcus Joyner, going to Oakland, 28-year-old safety, and he's leaving the Rams, coming in on 4 years, $42 million guaranteed. So, you know, that's a big deal. Raiders were super aggressive this offseason. Next is Ziggy Ansah, edge rusher from Detroit, 30 years old. He's actually still unsigned, too. So still some good guys out there. 16 is Za'Darius Smith, like I said. 17 is Tevin Coleman. I'm very excited about this one. Very excited. You know, 2 years could go up to 10. It's 8.6, 8.5 million guaranteed, but could go to 10.6. So, not a big contract at all, but Tevin Coleman was a huge impact player. You know, he was, I think, the second best running back available under Le'Veon. And, I'm very excited to see what Shanahan does. You know, he had 2 years with him in Atlanta, and, you know, he used him well, especially in the passing game. So, one season he got 59 receptions. So I say if we could put him back in, you know, that'd be awesome. That'd be sweet. Very excited. Ronald Darby, still unsigned. Darrell Williams, he's going back to Carolina. 1 year, $7 million. Not too bad. There's some other guys. Well, I'll try to cover the big ones. Robert Saffold, big guard from the Los Angeles Rams, going over to Tennessee. 4 years, $44 million. Jordan Hicks, linebacker from Philly, heading to Arizona on a 4-year deal, $36 million. One of my favorites. What's up, Turkey? How we doing? Glad to have you on. One of my favorites, Quan Alexander, coming to the Niners. 4-year, $54 million. And at the time, he was the highest linebacker, and then Mosley got a bigger deal. But, you know, he tore his ACL. Fourth rounder. He makes aggressive plays. Sometimes they pay off, sometimes they don't. But I think that Quan's going to come in and make an impact for this team. I think he's the perfect player that John Lynch should have went after. Very excited to see what they can do. Teddy Bridgewater going back to the Saints. One of the interesting stories has been Trent Brown. Seventh round pick by the Niners. And we traded him to the Patriots. He won the Super Bowl. And then now he's coming back to the Bay Area, but to Oakland. It's a 4-year deal, $66 million. A former seventh-round pick, a tackle, making a name. It's good. Good for him. Golden Tate, going to be OBJ's replacement in New York. Signed a 4-year, $37.5 million deal. So, let's see. He can get up to 1,000 yards normally. He's pretty reliable. So, see how he gets utilized in New York. Dante Fowler, going back to the Rams. 1 year, $14 million. It's kind of a lot for a 1-year deal, to be honest. Juwan James, big tackle from Miami, going to Denver on a 4-year, $51 million deal. Mark Ingram, going to the Ravens. Big, big signing for them for pretty cheap, to be honest. 3 years, $15 million. Not too much, but only 29 years old, you know? And he's a big impact player that can do something right away. He's really good in a 1-2 punch. So, like I said, Adrian Amos going to Packers before. Jameson Crowder heading to the Jets. People call him a broke man's Golden Tate. So, or just a younger, cheaper Golden Tate, whatever you want to call him. So, could be okay. He's only 25 years old, so signed for a 3-year, $28.5 million. 17 guaranteed. Tyrell Williams from the Chargers going to the Raiders, just a little bit up north. And 4-year, $44 million. Could be a big impact player for them. Nathan Peterman will never touch the ball this season, I hope. If he does, that's the end of the NFL right there. Just saying. Don't want to see that. John Brown leaving Baltimore and going to the place where receivers die. Buffalo. Buffalo Bills. It's literally the place where receivers go to die. That's why AB did not want to go there. Terrell Suggs leaving his 16-year tenure in Baltimore behind and is heading to Arizona. Will be interesting. And Clinton Dix going to the Bears. 1 year, $3.5 million. Devin Funchess going to Indianapolis Colts. That was a 1 year, $13 million. Pierre Desser, cornerback on Indy, re-signed with them. 3 years, $25 million. Adam Humphries leaving the Buccaneers and heading to the Titans. 4 years, $36 million. Pretty good slot receiver. Kind of looks Julian Edelman, you know? Kind of like him. Good hands. Could be impact player. You never know. Eric Weddle going to the Rams, leaving Baltimore behind, but 34 years old, getting a little old. Jason Verrett going to the Niners. 1 year, $3.6 million. Pretty happy about that one. It's going to be good. Got some injuries, but when he's healthy, he's a beast. So I'm excited for that one. Cameron Wake, 37 years old, going to the Titans. Titans making some moves. 3 years, $23 million, $10 million guaranteed. But there are a lot of guys still left over. Jamie Collins, Clay Matthews, J.J. You know, there's some. Jason McCourty just signed with the Patriots again. Randall Cobb still out there. C.J. Anderson. You know, these are big guys. Big Michael Crabtree. Gostkowski. Adrian Peterson just signed with the Redskins. 2 years. Beasley signed with the Bills. Eifert's still available. Yeldon's still available. Eric Berry just got released, and he's available. Someone should sign him. Mark Barron's still available. Clever Quinn's still available. I mean, this is Nick Perry's available. I mean, decent guys. Decent guys are still able to get signed and come in right away and I think make a difference. But we're going to take a break here at the Grand Slam. And thank you for listening in to Camp Student Radio. And we will be right back just in a bit. Back here on the Grand Slam. Just a nice little overcast day in Tucson. Nothing too bright, but yeah, nonetheless, nice little way to end the week. And hopefully everyone's got a nice weekend planned ahead of them. Hopefully some good sports are on. I know we got some March Madness coming up. Hopefully everyone's getting their brackets filled out and getting that going and entering that into their brain, because that's going to be the talk of sports radio coming up very soon. These tournaments are wrapping up, and after that, it goes right into madness. And pretty nuts that there's not really going to be that many Pac-12 teams in there. I'm not even sure if Washington's going to make it, which is pretty sad to say. Pretty sad to say. But I'm not really going to, I don't want to get into Pac-12 basketball at all. It's not worth it. There's literally no meat to talk about. But there is something that's coming up that just kind of got impacted a little bit more. So that's the NFL draft. And this draft is going to be, this draft's going to be very interesting. And normally when you got a free agency, you know, you kind of have two separate game plans. You got a draft plan and you got a free agency plan. And you can kind of differentiate which one is which and, you know, what you need to do for each, how you're going to attack your team's most important needs, like where you're going to do that. And sometimes you want to get more draft heavy. Sometimes you want to get more free agency heavy. Sometimes it depends if you have more money. Sometimes it depends if you have more draft picks. So, but I think a lot of teams' draft strategy just got changed by the way that they have signed all these free agents. I mean, normally you have teams that try to build. Normally, building through the draft is the most traditional way to do it. To build a team, you try to go through the draft. But it seems like a lot more teams recently are trying to be more aggressive and trying to get the star players that are already established instead of trying to build a star already. And it seems like that formula is coming in more and more. Which is, it's new. It's very different and it's new. We're going to start seeing that a lot more. I mean, this is definitely going to be something that is more common in football. This was pretty much the first off season that I can remember that has been this jam-packed with star power. it's normally in free agency, you know, trades aren't that common in football. They're very common in baseball. But football, you don't get that many trades. So it's very interesting when you see three pretty premier trades go down. D Ford, AB, OBJ. All in about 5 or 6 days. After a whole speculation, all those speculations over the offseason about where they'd end up, if they were going to dump them, and when they were going to dump them. It's all over. It's like the Bryson Machado. It's like, we know. We finally know. It was just all the anticipation. All it was anticipation before. And now it's, now we got what we need to see in front of us. But, you know, this thing is not done. I mean, this free agency is going to keep going. I mean, there's a lot of guys unsigned. I mean, I read that list. You heard it. There were a lot of guys that are unsigned, that are good quality players. Still a lot of young guys, too. It's not like these are old, just 37, 38-year-old vets. No. These are impact players. These are straight-up impact players that could produce right away. Right away. I have no doubt in my mind. And this is going to keep going until April. And come April, I mean, everyone's saying right now that the Cardinals are pretty much locked in to get that number one pick with Kyler. I mean, they're... coach is pretty much declared. That's what it's going to be. Obviously, he doesn't have the full jurisdiction. He's not the GM. He's just the coach. So he doesn't really have the official say of who they're going to go. But, I mean, if he's publicly declaring that, that's what you want to think. But, what if he's deacon the whole league? What if he's given everybody 2 to 3 months to think they're drafting Kyler? And everyone's game plan has got to be, oh, they're drafting Kyler, so the person that we didn't think was going to be available is now available. They could be thinking, we're going to take that and try to mess with everyone and take the guy that maybe the 2, 3, 4 want. So I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it'd be very interesting if they went that route. But, I mean, it is looking like they're going to take Murray. I mean, I don't know. Giving up on Rosen that quick kind of sucks. I mean, I don't think he's like one of those rookies that's just fizzled right away. I think Rosen is definitely still a good potential quarterback. So maybe it's not the right fit for him. Maybe they do need to trade. I mean, if they get Kyler, they're going to have to trade Rosen. They're going to have to get some sort of return for that investment. They have to. I mean, there's no way that you can't. That would suck. That would literally suck. If you had two quarterbacks, a 10 and a number one. But they could take Bosa. They could go Allen. They could go Quinnen. Sheesh. There's so much talent. There's so much talent. Yeah. I don't know. There's a lot of opportunity to continue this movement that's going on right now. Because if Murray goes number one, they're going to dump Rosen. Going to dump him. And I feel like there are still a lot of QB-hungry teams. Miami just traded Ryan Tannehill. So is that a sign that they might go for Rosen? I mean, if they go for Rosen right then, I think Murray's going to them. And Bosa or Quinnen could easily be that Niners pick. And, you know, my friend Martin and I have been discussing about if the Niners should go for Bosa or if they should go for Quinnen. And, you know, I've been Bosa, you know, Team Bosa for a while, and they can't go wrong either way. I mean, the number two pick this year, they actually can't go wrong with either one of them. But I saw this video of Quinnen that I saw this video of Quinnen Williams with a comparison to Aaron Donald and the way that he explodes off the line, his hand placement and his body weight that he can control on the line of scrimmage gives him a different type of explosion to get to the quarterback. And when, you know, I saw that, it was crazy to me. I mean, Aaron Donald is a once in a generation type of player. He really is. Don't get me wrong. But I don't think that there are a lot of comparable guys to him at all. I think that, you know, Aaron Donald is going to be one of the best defensive linemen of all time. I think he is going to go down. But Quinnen Williams easily has the potential to do something in this league. He has the ability to absolutely dominate. To absolutely dominate. His frame, he's 6'4 and 270, I'm pretty sure. And he's a monster. He's a monster. Probably even put on more weight, which is nuts. But his 40 is like 4'5, 4 something like that. And, man, he would just cause havoc. He would cause serious havoc. But Nick Bosa is a franchise-changing player as well. He could easily become the next best player for this San Francisco 49ers team. Easy. No doubt in my mind. Plus, with Dee Ford, with Quan Alexander, I mean, those additions really changed the draft scheme, I think. In my eyes, I mean, getting two pass rushers like that, an edge and a linebacker, makes me think, you know, they go D-tackle more. But they could also put Dee Ford on the outside linebacker, Quan on the inside linebacker, and then Bosa on the outside rush, on the edge. So, oh my god, it would be lethal. It would be lethal having Bosa there. I mean, now that we know that there's not going to be an OBJ trade, and now that we know that there's not going to be an AB trade, we're not dumping the number two for them. So now that that's, you know, established, we know that they're going to draft someone good. We know that. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the Niners tried to trade it back into the first round, got crafty, and tried to get DJ Metcalf too. I don't see why not. I mean, they just got Jordan Matthews, who's 6'3". You know, he's like 6'3", 190, 200, 210, something like that. And veteran. His mom is cousins with Jerry Rice, which is pretty cool. I think he knows the game of football. He's been around the game of football. But I feel like we need a weapon to have for the future. We need a Julio. We need a AB. We need an OBJ. We need a star. We need star power. And I think Metcalf could definitely be that next generation of wide receiver. So doing what we would have to do to get that pick, I say go balls to the walls. Why not? If this is the year that we're going to be aggressive on DK. Because he's insane. He's destroyed the combine. And I can't even imagine what he's going to do against those defenses, wherever he goes. So that should be very interesting. But yeah, I mean, this draft is extremely shaken up now. I don't think anything is guaranteed. I really don't. I think that before free agency, teams had a certain outlook that they can't really use anymore. You know? Which is crazy to me. And, you know, going, I kind of talk about how I think sports are going to look differently in the next, you know, decade. But I think the 2020s is just going to be a completely different type of football. I think it's going to be more aggressive. Obviously, I think the penalties, it's gotten pretty soft. But I think it's going to go back to a more hard-hitting type of football. I think there's going to be this new type of young generation of player that comes with a different type of electricity. And we're going to just start seeing that more commonly. And then on the other side of the ball, I feel like we're going to get more swag, you know, going forward. You know, I think that we're going to get those hype players going in these drafts. And I think this could be one of the first drafts that we see a lot of talent, kind of like that last NBA draft. I mean, going forward, that draft really set the threshold. That NBA draft really set the threshold for the talent for this year. I mean, Zion is coming in. He's going to be the next icon in the NBA. Just like before, just like after Jordan was LeBron. Just like after LeBron, it's going to become Zion. And, you know, he's going to mark something completely new for the NBA in the 2020s. It's going to be his decade. LeBron's decade was this decade. Or even the 2000s. And LeBron has pretty much had the early 2000s. Jordan had the 80s and the 90s. And it's going to be Zion's time in this decade. And Kobe, of course. Of course. I'm just saying, as a holistic, you know, I'm definitely showing some respect to Kobe, of course. I'll correct myself. It was Kobe and LeBron's time. Absolutely. But now is going to be more of, I don't know, I think Zion's just going to have this league by storm. I mean, look what he did last night. First game back, 13 for 13, and came with the sends. Definitely Zion was a full sender last night. My goodness. Coming back after that injury, and 13 for 13, dunked like 3 or 4 times. He's just powerful. He's literally the next generation. And we're witnessing it. We're witnessing it right now. You know, he didn't sit out. A lot of people are saying he should sit out, prepare for the draft. He didn't. You know, that's not the type of player he is at all. And that's what the NBA needs to see. We need that again. We want guys that want to play, not that are going to sit out. So that's going to be really cool to see kind of the end, just kind of like how we just saw the end of Kobe's reign. We're going to see the end of LeBron's reign over the next, I'd say, 5 years is when he's going to retire. But at the end, in that kind of period of time, we're going to see that progression and that transition of LeBron and when Zion and LeBron and Zion's paths are going to cross at one point. And it's going to be when LeBron is more on the decline and when Zion is on the up. And that's going to be very interesting to see and very interesting to assess. Because then, you know, people are going to start putting Zion into the GOAT category. I guarantee it. Into that conversation. Give it 10, 15 years. These radio hosts are going to be saying that. That's the conversation. You know? It's going to be those 3 or 4. And, it's going to look a lot different. And, you know, as I get into my my 20s, my young 20s, 22 right now, but as I get into my mid-20s, my late-20s, hopefully I'm still doing these podcasts, hopefully I'm doing it for some sort of job, or just on the radio for some sort, but I hope, you know, I can remember this and kind of know that that's what the conversation was going to be like, because I think that'd be really cool. to kind of be able to track that over time. Just because I think that, you know, analysts are going to eat it up when he starts going. It's a whole new bucket of content to put up. You get a whole new franchise league-changing player to cover. And I guarantee you, those writers, those analysts, those whatever, the radio hosts, they're going to love it. He's going to be the phenom. He's already destroying it in the college scene. He's missed like 6 games, something like that. Came back, killed it. Killed it. Dude's unreal. He's literally unreal. But yeah, into this March Madness tournament, I was talking to my friend yesterday, and we were talking about Duke and kind of how they play, and kind of the expectations for this tournament. And, you know, I was talking to him, and he asked me if I thought that they were going to win. And, you know, as much as I think Coach K is a GOAT, as much as I think Zion's a GOAT, for some reason, the way that college basketball has gone this year and the way that the Pac-12 has gone this year is like kind of my sign that something's up. But the way that college basketball has gone this year, it just doesn't seem like, I mean, I know Duke's not the 1 or 2 seed even. They're a 15, so I mean, they could easily be, I guess, the sleeper team in if your eyes, if you wanted to have them compare up to a number one. But I don't think they're like that true number one team right now. Or in the tournament, I don't think they would be that true number one team. Obviously, I know how great Duke is, but I just think that this is the type of year that there's going to be one of those sleeper teams. Not like a 15 or a 16, but I feel like it could definitely be like a 5-6 or a 4 seed this year that wins it all. And that's just because college basketball has just been the most unpredictable thing this year. It's been very strange. The 1 seed has fluctuated up and down all throughout the season. All throughout the season. And that's very strange. Sometimes it does that, but normally you get, you know, a pretty constant number one. And it's kind of moved around a lot. And, you know, I know I've been disappointed with the Pac-12. You know, being a Cal and Arizona fan, Cal was horrendous, but actually got some good dubs. You know, won the last 3 games. But, you know, Arizona did not perform this year at all. And I'm excited to cover them next year because we got some good recruits coming in. Talked about them a lot about them on this show. Nika Mannion is going to be – he's going to cause some big trouble for these Pac-12 defenses. That man is shifty. He's got some good moves. He can shoot. He can slam. It's a great signing for the Wildcats. Great signing. Very happy about that. And then Josh Green, the Aussie 2-guard, 6'4", 6'5". It's gonna be good. He's a great shooter. That's what we need. We need efficiency like that. Terry Armstrong, another 2-3, coming in. He's like 6'6". I think he's a little bit longer. He's like 180 pounds, so nothing too big on the weight there, but definitely a long frame. And he can dunk too, which will be really fun to watch. And then Christian Aloko's our center, our 4-5. I think he's either a stretch 4 or 5. I'm not sure. But he's looking real, real good. He just won his state championship. We have like 3 or 4 state champions coming in. It's fun. It's a good time. Good time for this basketball team, I think. Forget Flush this year. Forget it. Put it down the toilet. And look forward to next year. Look to dominate next year because we're definitely going to be there. All right, well, we are coming to the end of this show. But before I do, just like to thank a couple people. First off it is Anchor, or not Anchor. Anchor is the platform I put my podcasts on. but it is Headliners Barbershop, and actually I'm going to be going to them soon, but that's the barbershop I go to on First and Grant. Good, great haircut, great guys there, go check them out. Second is Alien Pros, which is a Instagram page that I'm an ambassador for, so go check them out. They have bat grips, golf grips, tennis grips, pretty much anything you need. And that's all in my bio at the Arizona Grand Slam. So go check both of those out. Everything else is pretty much wrapped up. Big week in the NFL. Look forward to continue. Big time coming up before the draft. A lot of teams changing up their strategy. Gonna see a lot of movement, continuation. And spring training's also midway. So, still gotta go get up to a game in Phoenix before it ends. Got a couple weeks to go. And then baseball's opening day is first week of April, so we'll be right there. All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening in to the Grand Slam. I truly appreciate it. Make sure to go check out Arizona Grand Slam on Instagram and look for more content to be posted there very soon. And everybody, thank you for tuning in once again. I appreciate all the listeners and the viewers, and everybody, you have a fantastic day.